The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jim Board. He's a director at Federal Enterprise Solutions at Micron Technologies. Micron's based out in the Martin Zone somewhere, right? Where's it based again?
Boise, Idaho.
But they have an office here, and a lot of people don't realize that this is a very large, successful company, been around for 35 years. They have a local office. They have a local manufacturing place here, which is a great story. I hope people pick up on this. And that's why we brought Jim in to talk about Micron, talk about how he can help my federal listeners, and talk in general about storage and options and all kinds of capacity changing and IoT. Too many topics today. First, Jim, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Micron, please.
Well, John, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. My wife and I moved here to the D.C. area back in the Reagan administration, and we've been here ever since. My first job in IT, I was doing programming in a digital signal processing environment. And
DSP?
While I wouldn't say that I was bad at it, there were a lot of people who were much better at it than I was, and I found my calling was in more public-facing roles. My career took me into storage solutions. I was with NetApp, a company called Isilon. We were bought by EMC, and I was at Compellent when we were acquired by Dell. I've been with Micron for the last 2 years and proud of a lot of the things that we're doing. So thanks for having me.
And that's why you're here, to tell people about Micron, because people just don't know. I mean, a lot of times you may buy a phone, buy something, and not realize the components really are a major part of what that's all about. Tell us the history of Micron. Been around 35 years. Very solid, good, solid, kind of Fortune 500, well-respected in the industry, kind of interesting company.
Yeah, indeed. So we are in the digital memory business, and at the risk of oversimplifying it a little bit, we make two products. We make dynamic memory. That's the memory that loses the information in it when the power's shut off. You get that warning about save your information or you're going to lose it. And we also make persistent memory, and that's the also called flash memory or NAND, and that's the memory that actually retains things when the power goes out. So you will see that in something like a USB drive or a solid-state drive. We make millions of pieces. You'll find our products at a chip level being used inside of smartphones or iPads. We make memory modules like DRAM. It'll be inside of laptops and servers. We make solid-state drives that are used in laptops and servers. I know a lot of the listeners to WTOP do it while they're in their car and driving, and there's Micron memory products in the dashboard of almost every car made in the last 20 years. So a lot of your listeners are using Micron products right now, and they probably don't even know it.
So WTOP is the parent, and Federal News Radio here is one of our sister stations. So we're on Federal News Radio, just in case some people are checking their dial here. You know, I've had guests. We talked about big data. We talked about analytics. We talked about IoT. But the foundation is, this is the commonality. It's Micron's probably in all these.
it's memory. And let me kind of break down the market for you so you can understand that. There's very, very few companies in the world that does what Micron does. So, and I'm talking about mass-produced, state-of-the-art, low-cost memory products, not boutique or special or custom products. But Micron is in an elite group. We're able to start with a piece of bare silicone. When you begin the process, it looks like a mirror. There's only four companies in the entire world that make NAND from that piece of silicone, or make flash memory from that piece of silicone. Of those four, there's only three that also make dynamic memory, or DRAM. Micron is the second largest of those three, and we're the only one based in the United States. Last year, we did $12 billion in sales. We've got 30,000 employees. We were founded in 1978. That was the beginning of the personal computer era. Think Apple II, and you're in the right time frame. We were founded 2 or 3 years before the first IBM PC came out. And as I said, we're headquartered in beautiful Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, and the surprise is that many listeners aren't going to realize this, is that there's a manufacturing facility in Manassas, Virginia, that makes your products. I mean, this is shocking. This is, you know, white-collar city, but really a manufacturing facility, high-tech manufacturing in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia. I imagine you've had generals and admirals and just take them in the car and show them, let's see what you got right here.
We have indeed, and I'm very proud of our facility in Manassas. To kind of give the listeners a perspective here, the clean room alone, this is the automated facility where we're actually etching and doing the lithography and creating the products. The clean room alone is the size of 3 football fields. It's heavily using robotics. The entire plant itself employs about 2,200 people. I have to say, when we bring in government executives or military brass to see what we're doing there, shock might be too strong of a word, but it's not too far from it. You know, this is an area that's not known for manufacturing anything.
Right, yeah.
And then here we are making high-tech products, you know, less than an hour from the Pentagon, an hour from Capitol Hill. And people are shocked. They're surprised and pleased.
Back around 1978, there was a guy named Bruce Springsteen, and he had an album. One of the songs was, you know, Born in the USA, right around that era there, you know. And I think when you have something manufactured in the USA, that is a differentiator, especially for the DOD and the military community, which is a strong, strong selling point, I think.
People care. It matters. It probably matters to people in the government more than a lot of industries. But my peers are finding interest in Wall Street, healthcare industry, and then in the hyperscale, the cloud companies as well. So people who care about their data, care about data integrity, cybersecurity, are starting to pay a lot more attention to who makes the pieces inside the computers that they're buying. We manufacture, as I said, in Manassas. We also have a factory in Lehi, Utah, right outside of Salt Lake City. And then we manufacture at our headquarters in Boise.
Well, let me see now. There's a Silicon Valley, and in New York they have Silicon Alley, and you're in Boise. No, there's no stinking Boise Silicon Valley out there. Why Boise?
we might be the high-tech part of Boise. It's actually a fun story, John, how we wound up there. So the venture capital world was quite a bit different back in the 70s. Our founders were looking for sources of funding to get the company off the ground. This is pre-internet days, so the way you find people and research information and get connected as you went to the library. So they went to the library, found a list of the wealthiest individual in each of the 50 states. So they started reaching out to these people and working their way down the list, and they got to Idaho, and the wealthiest man in Idaho at that time was a gentleman named J.R. Simplot. J.R. Simplot had been a potato farmer. He'd also gone into...
This is too good a story.
This is great Americana. He had also moved into potato processing. So picture the factory where a truckload of potatoes comes in, and there's a machine that washes them and then chops them up and prepares them for
wherever
they're going to go. Exactly. So this is in the late 70s. And back in the 50s, so take it back even further, J.R. Simplot had bid on a contract to provide French fries to this new restaurant called McDonald's.
Yeah.
So those Idaho potatoes were the great French fries that in part made McDonald's famous. And 20 years later, Mr. Simplot was a very, very wealthy man. He told our founders, I do have money. I am interested in investing. I would like to diversify. I don't know anything about that computer stuff you're talking about. And if I'm going to give you any money, you're going to locate right here in Boise, Idaho. And we've been there ever since.
The Washington Post should do a story on that one, from potatoes to DRAM. Wow, that's quite a story.
It is. It really is.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Micron and maybe some of the values, some of the value proposition you have for my listeners and why they should be interested in Micron for many different reasons, including supply chain. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Board, Director of Federal Enterprise Solutions at Micron Technologies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Jim Board, Director, Federal Enterprise Solutions, Micron Technologies. We just had a great introductory block. We talked about everything from potatoes to high-tech to DRAM. And so my question, I'll ask you the same question my listeners are thinking is, why haven't more people heard about Micron?
I think there's a good reason for it. We're working hard to change that. But historically, Micron has been a classic OEM. We've made millions of pieces. We've sold them in large quantities to companies that are household names, companies like Dell and Hewlett-Packard. And they'd take our products and put it inside their boxes and go out and sell them and become famous and well-known. But Micron didn't get recognized for that. The opposite would probably be what Intel has done, right? For decades, they have worked very hard on branding themselves and advertising. They got a catchy jingle and a tone that everyone recognizes. They put their name on football stadiums. And Micron hasn't really followed that approach. We're changing that now because we see a shift in the trajectory of the company. Making DRAM for many, many years, that was a predictable business model and a successful one for us. But now with the explosion of solid-state technology or persistent memory, we see this as an opportunity to start letting people know about Micron, know who we are. And I think people are beginning to care. It makes a difference. And now's the time to tell the world who we are and what we're doing. We've got two consumer brands that your listeners may recognize. Lexar, which is the digital media that you see people using in cameras, Nikons and GoPros and so forth. We also have a consumer brand called Crucial. Crucial is targeting upgrades and enhancements, aftermarket upgrades and enhancements to computers. So if you needed to add memory or replace the memory and increase the capacity or take out an old mechanical spinning hard drive and replace it with a solid state drive, Crucial would be a great choice for you there. I will elaborate a little bit more for you, John, on people recognizing us. There are not a lot of people out there who open their computers and look inside and try to figure out who makes
all
this
stuff. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And even if you did that, because of the nature of the OEM marketplace, you might not find Micron inside. The big computer manufacturers, they'll buy the products from us, from Samsung, from Toshiba. And they buy in hundreds of thousands of pieces. Part of the agreement is that you put a label on there with, you know, their logo and their part number. So when those hit the factory, they're often commingled. And so if you open the box and you looked inside, you know, you might not see Micron's name. You'll see the computer manufacturer's name. So it takes a bit of an investigation to figure out where those components inside a computer come from. And unless the federal IT buyer is asking that question and showing interest in it, they may not ever know who makes these products.
Well, I got up early this morning, as is my wont, and I went to Twitter. I typed in at Micron Tech. I just saw a ton of tweets. I mean, I think of Micron Technology as kind of a big, solid manufacturer sitting in the, No. This company, the social media makes it look like it's a Seattle startup with guys with, you know, beards. And it's a great Twitter feed. And I think everyone should just go on and see what's going on because they'll point you to articles. Here's a great article here that was pointed out. I guess one of your fellows wrote this in November is Storage Foundation is moving fast.
It is.
There's all kinds of new things out there.
It
and,
is.
And guess what? Hold on to your hats, because the amount of changes in storage in the last, it seemed like it was stayed for maybe 8 or 10 years. And all of a sudden now it's just like everything else, it's exploding. That's
right,
the word you
right.
used earlier, exploding, isn't it?
It is indeed. At the beginning of my career, I was very much involved in moving people from direct attached storage into storage area networks or network attached storage. We've seen that evolve into virtualized data centers. Now people are moving into the cloud. And the pendulum has started to swing back now. You're seeing a lot of direct attached storage right on the server, and in big part that's happening because of the solid state technology, the flash technology, and this move away from the slower spinning mechanical hard drives.
I have listeners in the DOT, I got listeners over NIH, I got listeners all over the place, and so they're listening to this interview going, oh, Micron, that seems to be kind of cool. Wow, that many people? I mean, there's a clean room just out in Manassas? Wow, well, what can you do for me? So why should my listeners go to micron.com and see what's going on, watch the videos, follow the tweet? I mean, what kind of value do you bring to someone like the DOD?
Right, right. And I think that's a great question. And that is part of that change in Micron's profile that I mentioned earlier, letting people know who we are and why it matters. This shift in the marketplace or shift in technology is probably one of the biggest things that we have going right now, and Micron is right in the middle of it. After decades of using spinning hard disk drives, all of the applications, all the workloads are starting to move over to solid-state technology. You'll see it in the data center, in big data applications, OLTP, virtualization, just some enormous workloads and applications are moving to solid-state. I think the benefit of solid-state being higher performance is well known to a lot of people. But I think lesser known is the other advantages that they bring. Less space is required. Solid-state technology weighs less. Solid-state technology uses much, much less power. And I talk to people running data centers all the time where they're concerned about the amount of power they're drawing. Using less power than a mechanical spinning hard drive also means you need less cooling. So you're able to keep your data center cooler using solid-state technology. And one of the early places you saw solid-state in use were in laptops, and that's because of their resistance to vibration or less susceptibility to damage from vibration. And that has opened up a lot of new applications in mobile applications, tactical applications, airborne applications. So this is changing a lot of what we're seeing the military doing, and it's enabling a lot of new uses that could not have been even considered in the past. So costs are coming down. Manufacturing quantities are going up. There's new applications that are being opened up by this shift to solid-state technology. I'm seeing servers out there now that the cost of the hardware, if we look at the Micron addressable content, is over 50%. I've seen it be as high as 80%. So, John, you're asking why would people care about Micron? It's the changes that we're bringing to the marketplace, the impact we're having on workloads and applications. But it's also the cost that is involved. Everybody knows that they've got Intel inside. They probably know what the number of cores and the clock speed and which model processor it is, but they haven't a clue who's making the storage devices inside of their computers. And I suggest to you that it matters, and it is going to matter more and more over time. And when you've got a supplier who's providing 50%, 60%, 80% of the content of the servers that you're buying, it's good to have a relationship with them.
Yeah. I want to use a four-letter word here, and the word is jobs, J-O-B-S. Now, believe it or not, Micron Technologies is out of the Fortune 500, one of the best companies to work for. I saw the award. You got the award.
It is indeed.
Fortune 100 tech companies to work for. And if we look at workers here in Manassas, there's veterans all through Boise, all through Manassas
right,
as well.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, there are people in different parts of this town that use different words involving jobs, and you're sitting out there hiring veterans and you're shutting up. I mean, this is a pretty good known secret here, is that, you know, yes, we're going to shut up and just hire the veterans and give them a paycheck.
John, I'm very proud of our record hiring veterans. Last year we were recognized by the First Lady Michelle Obama. She was looking for a location to give a speech on the importance of hiring veterans. And she chose Micron and our factory, our fab. That's a semiconductor lingo for fabrication plant. But she chose our fab in Manassas to deliver that speech on the importance of hiring veterans. We've hired 100 and something there. Throughout the rest of the country, a company, hundreds of others. And they work very well in our environment. This is not just a good thing to do for the country and a patriotic gesture. Our fabs operate 24 by 7 by 365. It's a very technical process. It's process oriented. We need teams of people that are used to working around the clock together. And veterans know that. They're familiar with it and comfortable with it.
Well, that's great news. Let's take a break, come back. I want to talk about chain of ownership, supply chain security, manufactured in the USA, what that means for some of our listeners and why it may not be important for other listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Board, Director, Federal Enterprise Solutions, Micron Technologies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Jim Board, Director of Federal Enterprise Solutions for Micron Technologies at Micron Tech on Twitter. And they have all kinds of good stuff on Twitter. I was just amazed, number of articles and links. And I was there this morning, and they talked about SSDs and dynamically configuring them for capacity and write performance.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute. This is software. This is agile software development being flexible.
Right.
That's not what you do with manufactured stuff. You
right.
can't have them be flexible. No, John, Micron can have hardware that's flexible. Oh, tell me more about that.
Right,
that's
right. John, this gets into what can we do to help the government? How can we assist? And a lot of that comes into almost a consulting or an advisory role, talking about trends in the industry, talking about how it's going to impact the workplace, the budgets, the need for floor space and cooling.
Dynamic allocation, yeah.
Exactly. And the drive types, SSDs in the past have been hard and fixed for either heavy read or heavy write or mixed use or low duty. And what we're doing now is giving the customers the ability to configure that. So these are the kinds of changes that we're bringing to the marketplace and why that federal IT executive is going to benefit from a relationship directly with Micron.
Yesterday, I was driving a Ford F-150 8-cylinder, and I said, I love this truck. But if I'd like to have a 4-cylinder for the city, an 8-cylinder for hauling, what you're saying
right.
is no problem. We can do that with hardware. I go, no,
exactly.
You can't. Well, yes, you can. So you can have systems where perhaps there may be some dynamic capabilities that are required occasionally, or different systems that need different types, like automobiles, different types of memory usage. That is a whole new world of storage.
It allows you to bring in the SSD and repurpose it after you already have it in-house. It allows extending this conversation to the ecosystem, it allows a federal system integrator to pick one drive and use it for a variety of different workloads or applications that his customer may have. So there's big wins across the board in implementing this kind of technology.
I was a history major many years ago, and so I looked at the history of your company. And I went to Google, did some searches on what kind of trade shows you guys go to. And I was sure surprised when you show up at like automobile trade shows. I'm saying, okay, now wait a minute. Explain this to me. Automobile trade shows? Where are these chips?
We have product in use in all kinds of industries. My team focuses more on the federal marketplace. At the end of February, we're going to be at FCA West. In San Diego. That is February 21st to 23rd. So if you're attending that event, be sure to stop by our booth or look for us. We often have speakers at these conferences as well. Let's see. We were at Supercomputing just a couple of months ago. That's another show that we regularly attend. people building supercomputers and a lot of the national labs require enormous amounts of memory to do what they do. So that's a hot spot for us. We're usually at GON to each year.
So cars, geospatial,
military applications,
the high-end computing. It's what a range.
Yeah, it really is. It's fun to see all the types of technology that Micron's being used in.
In my research, I stumbled on a company called Innoterra, Innoterra. Looks like you bought them a couple months back. Or what was the strategy behind that? And tell me about Innoterra.
Did indeed. So that was an acquisition that we made last year. We've been adding a lot of new companies to the portfolio to give us more capabilities. Other than Innoterra, we acquired a company called Pico recently. Pico has an FPGA technology that can solve a lot of unique problems in the government, particularly in analyzing data, maybe voice patterns. If you consider something like a fingerprint, imagine being able to do a voice print. It's also very good at decrypting hard drives or beating any kind of security that might be necessary. So there's a host of different applications in the government for a product like the Pico product line. So we're expanding the portfolio and getting out of just memory-specific products.
I like this Pico product because there are companies now that they're dealing with encrypted networks. We know that. They want to do packet inspection of encrypted networks. So the only way you can do that is to very rapidly be able to encrypt and decrypt to see what's going on in that network.
Right.
And if you have slow hardware, guess what?
Right.
That latency is going to kill you. So
you
have to so the best practice is inspect the network. Fine. What about encrypt the network? Still have to inspect the data packets. Well, you better be fast or you can't accomplish it.
Right. And another area you see it being used is in pattern matching. You know, in a video capturing and looking for a specific subject or object, and it'll pick that out of a video automatically. So these are just examples of some of the applications for that kind of product, and they're just extensions of the natural strengths of Micron and the products we've been making for years.
Seems like every time I walk in the studio, I got to use the word cybersecurity because it's what's trending, and you know, there's some security features inherent in some of your products as well.
Yeah, we provide SSDs that have TCG, enterprise-grade security. We have self-encrypting drives. We have FIPS 140-2 validated drives. So we can cover the full spectrum of the needs of the customers out there from a security perspective.
I've had people in the studio here, and we talked about enterprise architecture, EA, and designing data centers and dynamic allocation of facilities and space. And that is one of the articles at your website. It's called Designing for the Data Centers.
Right.
Okay, chapter 32. Now, you guys are involved in designing for the data center as well as cars. So that's really part of your portfolio as well. Is that right?
It is indeed. If any of this sounds of interest to listeners to the broadcast, I would suggest that they get in touch with Micron. We'd be happy to get into depth on any of these subjects. They're all worthy of an hour or two of conversation if we've hit a hot button there with someone.
Yeah, that's good. Let's talk more about manufacturing and manufacturing facilities and chain of command. Supply chain. There are sensitivities at the DOD about equipment they use that may or may not be manufactured in the United States.
Right.
And it's a very, very hot topic. And now, I would imagine at NIH, at transportation, at DOD, at other agencies, I don't care. But I think there's some sensitivities there. Is that an area you play in well, manufacturing United States and your specific products?
We see that all the time. Certain agencies are very sensitive to it. The military is obviously sensitive to it. Micron manufactures in Manassas, Virginia. We also manufacture in Lehi, Utah, right outside of Salt Lake City, and at our headquarters in Boise, Idaho. To explain the full breadth of our manufacturing, we also manufacture in Asia, and we have to do this as a response to the marketplace. People are looking for lower costs. It's a way for us to reduce our costs if a federal procurement doesn't specify or asks for lowest price technically acceptable, the Asian products allow us to compete in that market. If any of the listeners are interested in specific U.S.-made products, we can provide those, and I would urge them to reach out to us here at Micron, and let's get into the specifics of which products are of interest to you and time frame and quantities and so forth, and we'd be happy to discuss it with you.
Micron, MICRON.com/federal for more information.
Correct.
And I'm sure there's white papers and videos there. Is that right?
A lot of content on the website. As you said, Micron.com/federal. You can find a lot of great information there.
You know, and your website's completely responsive. So if you have a cell phone, smartphone, you can go to Micron and scroll through all kinds of things very, very easily. It's unusual to see a large manufacturing company with a website that's responsive and simple and easy. It's just, it's an unusual company. You know, it's like it's got a Boise mentality, but it's got a kind of Seattle, San Francisco user friendly for their website. And so and their Twitter feed is really good. I think it's learned so much about them.
Yeah, we've got a good middle America culture, and I think we've hired some great marketing people as well. And that harkens back to the comments I made earlier in the broadcast about branding and making people aware of Micron. And that all comes together.
We have to make people aware of some of our sponsors. So we're going to take a break and come back. Talk more about Micron and maybe some predictions here, what's going to happen in the next 5 years. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today, Jim Board, Director, Federal Enterprise Solutions at Micron Technologies.
You know, the mantra in Washington is follow the money. Everybody says it, hardly anybody does it, but we do. Every week on Your Turn with Mike Causey. Whether it's your pay raise, a major change to your retirement package, or the chances of layoffs, we're on it. Because we really do follow the money, and it's your money. Give us a listen Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., or download it anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Your Turn.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Jim Board, Director of Federal Enterprise Solutions at Micron Technologies. And my goodness, we've talked about potatoes today. We've talked about chips and Boise and Manassas. I don't know how many topics we've covered. Talked about storage and data storage mostly. I have a question for you, and this is a question that my listeners are questioning, going, well, geez, that's a manufacturing facility, right? $1 billion fab, that's great. One of the three or four people and companies in the world that can do it. But how can you help my listeners there, Jim?
Right,
I mean,
what
can my guy sitting over at NIH freezing this morning, how can you help them? Can they contact you? What kind of questions would they ask?
Great question, and thanks for bringing that up. Beyond providing them the products that we make, my team, I think, provides a lot of value add. And this gets out of the traditional role of a classic OEM supplying components to a major computer manufacturer. In a more strategic sense, we work with people in the government that are doing planning. We're sharing with them industry trends. Capacities are going up. Costs are coming down. What's the impact on the data center, on the power requirements, on the cooling? What's the roadmap look like? When can I get certain products? And how does that map to that agency's need to deploy 1,000 desktops or a new application on servers in their data center? How is that going to impact manpower and budget in my organization? More tactical, near-term types of things that we're doing. You know, we help give advice on workloads and the best matches for our technology with the different workloads and applications that are being deployed. What kind of duty cycles are they looking for? If it's a low use, maybe a client type of drive, there's lower cost choices than an enterprise drive for a high-impact data center application. We assist in getting our drives qualified and tested in different applications or intended applications with the government and with the system integrators. We do that on-site with the government at times. We also have a full-featured lab in Austin, Texas that we use for doing integration. And we do that with government and their intended uses. We work with the government contractors. They're selected vendors. We provide samples so that Our products can get qualified and tested ahead of time. So we're doing a lot of hands-on kind of work like that to help make sure the government's successful.
I have to admit, a few years ago, I had a person in the studio who was managing a data center for the federal government. Let's just say it was a large agency. And he had a thermometer with him. And I said, what's that all about? He goes, well, you know, I spent 10 years studying TCPIP, and now I got to walk around with a thermometer in the data center trying to see air conditioning loads. He's up on the roof
looking
at stuff.
Right.
He's up on ladders. And this guy's got a master's degree. He's a bright young guy. And he said, you know, now I carry a thermometer. I'm like an AC, VA, air conditioning guy. He said, whoever thought of something? But that's a question you can help him with.
It's a part of the problems. And today, you're looking at data centers as they're adding applications to the mix and adding new systems, deploying new servers. Pretty quickly, they'll tap out the available power or what the UPS is capable of supporting, and all of these things come into the planning that they're doing. So we're helping in those ways. And then sometimes it's just very specific. An agency wants to know how they buy from us, you know, what contract vehicles or what resellers have the products. And, you know, we have agency-specific gurus that know how to help government buy Micron products.
I would think that there's people working for the federal government have to buy hard drives every year. We know that. Now, do they have a little grid and it's cost per terabyte? And it seems like you have a few more columns than that on your grid when you analyze a hard drive.
Yeah,
cost per terabyte, maybe, but look at all these different types and different flavors you have here. Capacity, write performance, variable.
Right.
I mean,
It's every procurement's different, and how they measure and how they decide which product they're going to buy varies differently. You know, whether they're going to choose Dell or Hewlett Packard, or are they going to use us or somebody else? All of these things come into play, but in the end, I think the government and the taxpayer is best served when they look at the life cycle cost, not just the immediate cost of procurement. Because as I said earlier in the program, solid state technology uses less electricity, that requires less cooling, it takes up less floor space, and these are all benefits that ultimately help the taxpayer and the government.
Crystal ball time, Jim. Get out your glasses and see into the future here. Who could have predicted? I mean, I still have a hard time saying terabyte hard drive. I mean, I'm an old guy. I mean, terabyte just seems big to me. And my kids think it's normal. So where are we going to be in 5 or 10 years in storage? What kind of trends do you see happening in the area of data storage the next 5 to 10 years for my listeners?
Yeah, a great question. And I'll take a stab at it. Technology is predictable in that it's unpredictable and it changes rapidly. But let me give you three stabs at the crystal ball. Moving forward, I think you're going to see storage, looking inside the box, right? This is at the, inside the box perspective. I think you're going to see storage looking more like a piece of memory than what we've all thought of as storage in the past. Storage in the past has been a rectangular block, and it had that spinning hard drive inside of it. Right now, a solid-state drive oftentimes looks like that, and that's really to maintain compatibility from a legacy perspective. I think within the next couple of years, servers, laptops, all the computers out there are going to be designed to just have a persistent memory product, a NAND product plugged directly into it, and you don't need all those extra pieces that make it compatible with the hard drive. So that feeds into that lower cost.
Yeah.
It reduces the complexity. It reduces the space that's required.
The current word is optics. So the optics and the hard drive are there, but it's going to change.
So inside the box, that'll look different, and that'll allow the computer manufacturers to make things much smaller. So that's a change.
Wow,
I think you'll
see
storage, the storage piece inside the computer will look more like the memory or the DRAM.
Wow.
The next crystal ball I'll share is a major change that's happening in our space, and that is the use of 3D technologies. Memory products historically have all been single layer products. Basically, we've been able to increase the capacity of a chip by reducing the lithography and just squeezing more information into a smaller chip. At a certain point, that lithography becomes so small that the electrons running around on the chip just physically can't stay in their lanes any longer. So we've reached really the limits of what you can do in a single plane with a piece of memory or persistent or dynamic. What we're doing now is we're going to a 3D model. So when I say this, picture these layers being stacked on top of one another. And when I say stacking here, we're talking microscopically, not something that's going to stick up like a big lump. But that has allowed us to back off the lithography so that it's not pushing the edges of the envelope any longer. That increases our yield. So as we're producing product, we're able to make it more reliably, make it at a lower cost. And then the capacity starts to go up dramatically. So you talked about tens of terabytes. I predict if the crystal ball is 5 years out, I think you will see 100 terabyte.
In the SSD. Size of a stick of gum. I've seen these products.
Exactly.
Now, wait a minute. It's not like, get a cart, a stick, size of a stick of gum, and they can stack it on top of each other.
Right.
Just
right.
Fascinating. What's number three?
Number three is supply chain. You touched on this earlier, John. I think that you're going to see the government and certain industries, certain sensitive industries, starting to pay a lot more attention to what comes inside the box. And instead of just knowing that it's got an Intel inside, they're going to want to know who made that storage device. There's a lot of pieces inside the computer that are inert or don't have the ability to store data, but a solid-state drive was designed to store software in data. And the risk of having malware or spyware there is significant. So I think it's going to become commonplace over the next 5 years for people to want to know who made it, where was it made, who's touched it, was there security in the supply chain? And I expect fully that you're going to see that implemented broadly within the next 5 years.
Great predictions. Jim, if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's your email?
My email is jboard, J-B-O-A-R-D, at micron.com. And you can reach any of us here on the federal team at Micron by just sending your email to federal@micron.com.
Great. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jim Board, Director of Federal Enterprise Solutions at Micron Technologies.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.